Oh, good evening. Good to see you tonight. Let's take a hymn book and sing together, page 718. 718, let's stand and sing, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. 718. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days with strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Did you see that verse you just sang? Isn't that good? Wow! As your days, your strength shall be in measure. Wow. On the last verse now. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, ere to take as from a Father's hand, one by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Good singing. God bless you. May be seated. So thankful what God's doing in our midst. Anytime that there's trials, we know the blessings are just ahead. And we have God's promises on that, and a great song. Just a word of encouragement. Psalms chapter 37, two or three verses here. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Great, great truths from God's holy word. And we're here to study his word tonight, here to lift up one another's burdens in prayer. Let's see, Brother Herb Christian, I'd like you to come in just a moment, lead in prayer if you would. And let's look at our prayer requests. And if you don't have a prayer list and would like one, the ushers have them back there. Just slip your hand up, and perhaps you slipped in and we didn't get one to you. Okay, right down front down here, Robert. Others, anyone else? Okay, they've got them. All right, let's follow along, please. Praying for our president and our government officials and the peace of Israel, our missionaries serving in the Middle East in many and dangerous situations. Please pray for them. You won't find our missionaries listed in the Middle East on our back screen. You won't see our missionaries that are in dangerous areas like that up on the screens during the offering time. We just don't do that because pastors mentioned that people do monitor those things. We actually had one of our missionaries that deal in reaching Muslims. And he has a bounty on his head. They want to find him and kill him. I'm not going to even call him by name right now. But he's doing a great work for the Lord Jesus Christ, a great work. And he has a man that monitors the internet for just accidental things that churches do, his supporting churches and these kinds of things. And this man called us up and he said, missionary so-and-so, again, not to share his name, missionary so-and-so, we noticed that he's on your website. And we said, no, we took him off our missionary list. He's not on there. No. They said, no, you don't understand. He spoke at your church about 3 years ago, and it was going through the preaching records of your church, and there's a video of him preaching at your church. And would you please take that down for his safety's sake? And so we don't understand that, you know, but that's a serious, serious thing. So praying for our missionaries in the Middle East. Pray for the upcoming elections in 2016. David Rogers, he was at Florida Hospital, and they did think he had a blockage, and they're treating that, and thank the Lord, it does not appear that surgery is necessary, and he's home now. He came home today. So thank you for praying. Many of you got that email. And Hasela Rogers, she sprained her ankle quite severely, and they're fitting her with a boot, taking the cast off, I understand, fitted her with a boot today. And so pray for both of them, if you will. I understand the newlyweds, the new Buck family, they had an experience that Hope and I did. I think they got lovesick on their honeymoon, and in sickness and in health. Amen. So they kind of got a jump start on that part, and so I think they're doing better now. Anita Boyd will have her first radiation treatments beginning on Monday. Kenny Cox had surgery, removing a brain tumor today, and he's in ICU at the moment, but in a room, ICU there. And Phil and Judy got to see them, see him this evening, and we were there this morning. Continue to pray for a complete and full recovery, no complications to this serious surgery, but it was successful as far as the doctors can say right now. Sandy Scrimshire had eye surgery this week, and she's at home. Helene Calabro is still having health problems, and Stacy Libby's father is scheduled for surgery on the 17th. So if you'll pray for him, please, if you will. Nancy Deason's father, L.G. Hornsby, in case you didn't hear on Sunday, he's with the Lord. The memorial service will be held here at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, right here at 10 o'clock. And so if you can come, I know that'd be an encouragement to all the family at 10 o'clock on Saturday. Please pray also for Robert Floyd and his family. Brother Robert's father is being... he's come to the end of his life, it looks like, and he's just, every moment is a gift. Every moment is a gift. If you would, please pray for his heart condition, not physical heart, but spiritual heart, and pray that God, as he has extended mercy and grace to each and every one of us, that he would listen, that his father would listen to and heed the gospel that he's heard many, many times, and would receive that. And then these folks continue to remember in prayer, continue to pray for Mark Fleming and Mary Butler and Terry Shaw, David Shaw, Ruth Wright Meyer, Jean Ann Godby, Rod Mills, Gary Sherrill, Rick Elkins, Gary Moten, David Goss, Nancy Deason's mother Judy, continue to pray for Andy Floyd, Carol Alderman and Lydia Buck, Lou Sukup's neighbor Daryl, Stephen Van Ravensway, and Tom and Fran Pouch, both having severe health problems as well. And then our missionaries that we're focusing on, spotlighting tonight, the Robert Krasinski family in Poland and the Christine McLaughlin family in the Ivory Coast, praying for both of these. And thank you so very much. And the nursing home, folks in the nursing home and folks in the armed forces, if you would please remember these as well. Brother Herb, thank you, sir.
Let's go to the Lord. Father, what a privilege it is to come before your throne of grace, Lord. And it's only because of your Son that we can do that. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight for your love, your mercy, and your grace that you have given us. Lord, we just, we don't understand that kind of love, Lord. But, Father, tonight, as we come before you, each of us here in this room, Lord, as we bow our hearts to you, We each have issues. We each have loved ones that are sick or lost, Father. This list that we went through tonight, Father, is long, and some of them are painful. And Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, we just ask that you'll give them grace for each moment. And Lord, that you'll carry them through that like you said you would. So we thank you for this time together, Lord, that we can gather around your word, that we can encourage each other. Lord, as the pastor breaks the bread of life through us, Lord, that we can take these truths and apply them to our life, that we might be the person you want us to be as we walk down life's road. Father, that we might be the witness for you to others that are lost. Lord, that that time is coming short. We look at the world and us, and the situation all over. Lord, it just seems like it's getting worse and worse. And Father, we look at the prophecies of your word, and we see how close it is for the second coming, Lord, that you come for your church. And Father, we should be even more involved and more enthused about winning souls to to you, Lord. And we thank you for that opportunity that you place in front of us. May we not pass it up. Lord, we do long to see your face. And one day we will. Every one of us sitting in this room, Lord, is going to come to a point in life, Lord, that we'll step out into eternity and we'll see you face to face. Thank you, Lord, for that. So, Lord, we ask that you bless now. We ask that you lift up, we lift up all these people, Lord, that we sit on this list that are hurting, and we encourage them, Lord, and pray for them, Lord. And Father, we again ask for the blessing tonight as the pastor leads us here. And we thank you for him and the staff here in this church and for what they do. So, Lord, we ask thy blessing tonight. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.
Hey. All right. Thank you, Brother Herb. Let's sing 342, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. That special spot, God has protected us. Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin would not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in.
Everything sure looks different in here, and it's going to look differenter and differenter as the weeks go along. And that's good though. Things are happening, looking around and seeing all the things that are taking place. And if you haven't gotten your mind made up about taking a card and writing to Kenny Cox or Brother David Rogers and Sandy Scrimshire, well, I'll put these down there at the front also. And at shake hands time, you can pick those up, or we'll put them in the offering plate and pass them among you as they go along, and you can take something out of the offering plate. Do we have any visitors here with us tonight? Anybody visiting with us? I've looked across the congregation and have not seen anyone visiting, but I could have missed someone. Good to have the folks back with the Beavers tonight. Good to have your friends back with us. Delighted you're here. Any others at all? Okay. Okay, well, keep in mind all the things that are going on. Pray for Brittany Szilagyi. Of course, she got out of surgery and is in West Virginia now in a missions conference. And she left on yesterday, and supposed to have landed in Huntington, West Virginia, which is about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive to Huntington to the Charleston, where she was going to be in church. And Dick Lucas and his wife were going to pick her up at the airport and take her there. They live in Huntington, so they're going to pick her up at the airport and take her to the church. And so I knew she got in about 5:45, and so she'd be there for part of the service there at Maranatha, and would be there for part of the service. And so at 7 o'clock, I got a text from Dick Lucas, said, "Just delivered Brittany at Maranatha Baptist Church." I said, I said, "You didn't waste any time, do you? Did you?" He said, "I never do." And so she was there on time. And so that's a good thing. And so pray that that'll be a good meeting for her there this week. And good to have the Lyles back from all their excursions up north. And we're going tonight to receive. I want, in just a little while, I'm going to ask Brother Jim, tell us about what the fundraiser is you got going on right now at the college there, and see if we can give a little bit tonight to help that, and that'll be good. Remember the service in the morning. Not in the morning, it's Saturday morning, isn't it? Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Saturday morning at 10 o'clock for Brother L.G. Hornsby, and that'll be a good time together, a sad time in one way and yet a glorious time in another way. I think of the smiles that Brother L.G. brought to this church. And he'd just come in and he'd just smile at everybody. And I knew he had a difficult time, but you'd never know it by looking at him.
That's right.
And he'd just smile and greet everyone and everything like that. And I think, I don't know that it could get any brighter, but if heaven can get any brighter, it got a little brighter when L.G. got there. And so that's a good thing. And we rejoice with him. Any other announcements we need to make at this time? Okay, yeah, go ahead. Let's do it right now.
Okay. All right, Pastor already mentioned about the service for Brother Hornsby at 10 o'clock. Then at 1 o'clock on Saturday, at 1 o'clock, there's a work day scheduled. So if you could help with that, there's going to be some building going on over here on both sides and different places, different things happening. So if you could help at 1 o'clock. There'll be some painting going on and some construction, so that'd be great. And then, of course, those who have tickets, it's too late to get on the boat now as far as getting tickets, unless you find somebody you're going to trade with. But the dinner cruise, 2:45, the boat leaves, with or without us, okay? So 2:45, make sure that you're there early, if you will. They're in Sanford. At the harbor, and a marvelous time waiting in store. So looking forward to that. On tomorrow, you'll be receiving in your inbox, if we have your email address, you'll be receiving in your inbox, Lord willing, an email that we would ask you to forward to friends and coworkers and neighbors and people that you would forward things to, if you would forward that as a way of advertising about Journey Through Christmas. And it'll have pictures, it'll have the video, it'll have all the information, links to the Journey Through Christmas website, and to about the church and all of that. So if you would do that, we have 3 weeks from Sunday. 3 weeks from Sunday begins Journey Through Christmas, VCBC night, December the 6th. 3 weeks. It just seems like it can't be that fast, but it is. And so that's why we're getting underway about all these things. And of course, Thanksgiving is on Thursday, the 26th. So our thanks service, want to remind everyone, our thanks service will be on Tuesday, November 24th, 7 o'clock right here. And this is a terrific service. You talk about a blessing. It always is. It always is. And I remember the service, the last Thanksgiving thanks service, I could not be here. We were headed out of town to be with family for Thanksgiving. So we were driving down the interstate and via technology, watching the service, you know, and And no, I was driving, and Hope had the thing, you know. She had the phone. And they were taking testimonies over the technology, you know, texting and all that kind of thing. And we texted ours in. That was a neat thing. But if you can be here, you be here. Don't just sit at home, but be here if at all possible. Tuesday, 24th, and that'll be a great night.
All right, some changes happening through the season, holiday season, and that's normal, though. It happens every year, and it happens with everyone, so don't be, just listen, pay attention, adjust yourself, and everything like that. How many of you have already adjusted to regular time, setting your clock back? Have you adjusted to that? I haven't. I feel like it's midnight right now. I mean, it just seems like it's just so dark at a little after 7. But anyway, I hope you will be here. We'll put some microphones here at the front, and the way we do it, and we'll explain it that night, but just a little advance warning, if you want to share something that you're thankful for, you can just come and sit down, and we'll go from side to side, back and forth like that, and you can just get up to the microphone and share what you're thankful for. Now, we're not looking for Thanksgiving Day sermons or anything like that. We're just looking for people to thank the Lord. This is what you're thankful for. And it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And it's a good thing to let other people know that you're thankful. You know, it doesn't bless other people as it should whenever we're just thankful within ourselves. We ought to let other people know that we're thankful. And that way, it encourages their thankfulness, and it reminds them of other things that can be thankful for. How many times have I heard someone get up and thank the Lord for something, and I thought, I need to thank the Lord for that too. It just happens. It's just like that. And I know it's good to be at home and text it in or email it in or anything like that, but it's better to be here and get up and say it, okay? It's better to do that. All right? All right. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4, let's stand together and let's sing it tonight. Rejoice in the Lord always. Sing it with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Now, this thing just lends itself to what we call a round. In other words, how many of you ever sang as a kid, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, merrily. And you know how you'd start like that and then pick it up, okay? This song lends itself to that. And so, Brother Mark, if you'll take this side over here, you'll take this side over here, I'll take this side over here, and we'll start, and you all join us halfway through, okay? Since we're just doing two, we'll have... Now, we could do it in 4 sections. Now let's just do it in 2. Yeah. Let's just do it in 2, okay? All right, here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Good, isn't it? isn't that very nice? And we all ended right on the right time, the way we were supposed to and everything. It's not always you find songs that are like that through. They have the same chord structure to where you can sing in harmony and there's not a conflict in the tones. And that's kind of neat to be able to do that. And we could do it in fours. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start it over here on this side. These two sections over here are going to start it. Okay? And then you're going to go second. And then we're going to go third right here. And then over in these two sections over here, you're going to start fourth. Okay? Let's give it a go. Yeah. Get them started over there. And then get these started here. And then I'll get these started. All right? Robert will keep it going. Robert will keep it going. Who's going here? Jim, you going to lead that section over there? You know how to do that? You know the song? Huh? Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay, I want you to shake hands. You ought to be able to smile after that, okay? And we have some cards down here if you'd like to write to someone. Come pick up these cards. Ushers, come forward, if you will. And Brother Jim, where are you? Brother Jim Lyle, come on up here and tell us a little bit about this thing. And I told the people who called me that we'd do something. And I told them what we'd do is we'd receive an offering for this project they've got going. And tonight's okay. When we do it.
All right. Heritage Baptist College is an independent fundamental Baptist college in Franklin, Indiana. And I happen to be the President Alumni Association, so I get to raise all kind of money and go different places and talk to people about it. It's a small school. We only have 38 students, and some of those are part-time. But it's a place you can go and get good training one-on-one about how to get into the ministry and stay in the ministry and do all the things that some places you don't learn how to do anything but books. But we teach you how to baptize. We teach you how to go out and knock on doors. And we teach you how to do all the things that, you know, even We even teach them how to do a monthly account of the money. Now, that's where some people lose it.
Do you teach them how to lead a song in round?
Well, we just did. Well, I'm not much of a singer, but I do have timing because where I came from, I came out of the rock and roll age, and so I do know timing. Don't have a good voice, but I was a fireman before I was a preacher, and I'm still trying to get people out of, you know, rescue the perishing. But our college, we fell short $3,600 at our banquet this weekend because we held it at our school for the first time. 5 years ago, we didn't even have a building to meet in. And it just got started 5 years ago in this building, and it's an old building, and we're doing a great job there, but it takes about $15,000 to keep it going from one banquet to the other. And so we fell a little short, so we know God's going to take care of it. He always does, and so we're just going to thank God that that He is able. He said, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches by Christ Jesus." So we know that's going to happen. Come from somewhere, but it's going to come from Him, okay?
Amen.
You want me to pray?
Just stay right there.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say a word before you pray.
Yes, sir.
I've been talking to Tom Taylor here, but he won't listen to me. I'm trying to get some money, Tom, because I don't have any money.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was trying to get you to give me some money, and you wouldn't do it. Now you have to embarrass me right here in front of everybody. Huh?
How much you want?
Oh, give me that one right there. That's good. No, that one's turned up right there. Just that one right there. Now, you won't forget that, will you?
No, I won't. Dollar maybe, but not that one.
All right. And we want to be a blessing to these folks. They have done absolutely marvelously with that building. It's kind of out there. What's that little town called?
Franklin, Indiana.
Franklin.
It's about 30 miles south of Indianapolis.
And they've done a marvelous job with it, but it's an old building, and it really does. It takes a lot to heat it, and I don't think they try to cool it. But anyway, it's they've done a good job with it, and I thank God for it. So lead us in prayer and ask God to bless
Amen.
Us all.
And the last thing we did this before we left on Monday morning, it was ice on everything. Ice. Don't like that.
Glory.
Father, we thank you again for your blessings. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your goodness. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we may fall short sometime, but you're never short. And we know you're going to take care of the situation. And Lord, we just want to bless and thank you in advance. And it's your school. It's not ours. And we pray that you'll bless and help. We thank you for this church, this pastor. It's our church. We love it. And we're glad that we're here tonight. And we ask you to bless. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout,
with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
As I look around me in these days we're living in, I question how much longer will it be.
Shoulder and says,
Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Up till now, we've been looking through a glass so dark and dim, and only a few mysteries have we known. Be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We which are alive in Jesus will be changed in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you much. Open your Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to read again tonight the first five verses, and we will certainly get past that tonight. I think I'm about to get this thing to cooperate with me tonight. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, uninterrupted passage, and be glorified even as it is with you. Now, it's like that with you, so pray that it'll be like that in other places. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. I probably spent too long on that last week, but we do deal with unreasonableness in this day in which we live. But the Lord is faithful. Now, not all men have faith, but the Lord is faithful, full of faith, and faithful, true, promise, keeps everything he has said he will do. Our Redeemer is faithful and true. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil? What a wonderful confidence that is, that the Lord will do that. And now we come to verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you. that ye both do and will do the things which we commanded you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now, these three verses that we're looking at, verses 4 through 6 right now, this little segment, verses 4 and 5, we have this confidence. Now, whenever he's talking about the confidence that he has, he does not say, sometimes we say, I have confidence in you. And I understand that, and there's even an element of that in which Paul says that to the people, not only at Thessalonica, but at other places. But strictly speaking, he's not saying, I have confidence in you. He says, I have confidence in the Lord about you. Now, at this point in time, he is bringing, in verse 4, he's bringing Silas and Timothy into the conversation with him. He says, we have confidence in the Lord. We have this confidence. It's interesting to notice that the confidence Paul and the others have that these people will obey the commands and do the work of God is not in the Thessalonians themselves. But he said, this is in the Lord. I have this confidence in the Lord. Again, I refer you to the middle verse of the Bible, Psalm 118:8. Such a key verse in that central verse of the Bible. And I know whenever the Lord gave the Bible, he did not say, now we're coming to chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians. He didn't say that. I understand that it's been divided like that. But now the Psalms were definitely divisions. But somehow God just worked it out to where that's the middle verse of the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, I must tell you that if you put too much confidence in an individual, God will allow you to see a failing in that individual, so that you will not be overconfident in individuals. Now, there are many people who just get all distraught whenever something happens with a so-called Christian leader. They find a financial defect, or they find a moral defect, or they find something about their integrity that's wrong, or something like that. And, oh, they're just devastated. They're just crushed. I would never have thought that. Oh, it just makes me want to give up. Well, you've been put too much confidence in man. Now, I'm not excusing wrongdoing. I'm not saying that the failures, financial, moral, whatever failures they are right. But God will allow you to see that, so that you'll get your eyes off people back on the Lord. And sometimes whenever that happens, people do not use that as a motivation to turn their eyes back on the Lord. They use that to go further from service of the Lord. And what a terrible thing that is. It's better. It's far better. It is exceedingly better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says, we are not of them that worship other men, but we worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, he doesn't say we just have a little bit of confidence in the flesh. He said we have no confidence in the flesh. And so here he says to the people here, we have confidence in the Lord concerning you or touching you, about you. We have confidence in the Lord in this regard. His confidence relates to their present and future activity. So there is a complement And then there is a confidence. Look how he says, we have this confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Now, you can get this in the King James Version. There's an understanding. Look at the different uses of the word here. Now look what he says in verse 4. This is the confidence we have in the Lord, touching you, that ye. In other words, there is a confidence we have in all of you collectively, that each of you individually, will do those things which we command all of you. So he says our confidence is this. He said we have confidence in the entire group, all of you people there at Thessalonica, that each one of ye, that ye individually will do that is commanded to all of you. And so he has this confidence, and we see the individual responsibility because we're individuals included in the command that's given to everyone. So he says we have this. He says that you will do it, that you're doing it now, and that you're going to continue to do it in the future. It must be reemphasized at this point, I think, and properly so, that if you're going to obey the commands, you must know the commands. Now, what's the child's ultimate out when they have disobeyed? I didn't hear you say that. Well, you should have been listening. And if we're to say to God, I didn't know you said that. You should have been listening. And really, you should have been reading. And really, you should have been studying. And you should have been examining. If you're going to obey the commands, you have to know the commands. That's just reasonable. Now, we're not of those who are unreasonable. We're of those who are reasonable. And that's reasonable. Again and again, it comes back to knowing what God says. And for us, that simply means getting in the book. Getting in the book. And it's not just a matter of getting in the book on Thursday nights or Sunday night or Sunday morning or Sunday school. And all that is good and all that is fine. But there is a personal responsibility of getting in the book for yourself. It would be great, I think, if everyone could simply depend on us to do the right thing. Whenever something comes up sometimes and a person says, well, what do you think they'll do? I say, I don't know what they'll do, but I believe they'll do the right thing. Wouldn't it be good if God could simply depend upon us to do the right thing? Just do the right thing. Dear old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., many, many, many years ago, just said, the secret of living the Christian life, just do right. Do right. Just do right. Somebody wrote a little song about it. Do right, because it's right to do. Do right, the Lord is watching you. And then it gets into this. It's never right to do wrong to do right, so do what's right to do. do right, the Lord is watching you. Just do right. Do right. I don't know how Dr. Jones used to say this, but they used to kid him about doing this, and I don't know if they kidded him or not. They probably didn't kid him about it, but they talked jokingly about and I never knew the grand old man. I heard him on radio, but never knew it. But he put his right hand to the left side of his mouth. He wouldn't do it like that. He put his right hand to the left side of his mouth and talk across the back of his hand, and he'd say, do right,
Do right, young people. Do right till the stars fall. Just do right. Do right. We just make up our mind. Lord, if I know what's right to do, I'll do right. The Lord will let you know what's right. The Lord will let you know what's right. He'll be sure to do that. Right in doctrine and right in our doing. Just do right. Believe the right things. Do the right things. And God will take care of it from there on in. You can have this confidence in God for your kids. And for your grandkids. That if they'll learn the commands. They'll learn the commands. They'll do right. And will do right. Will do right. There's some things that come to us in that. This points us back to chapter 3, verse 6 of the first letter. In chapter 3, verse 6. But now, when Timotheus came from you. Now, of course, we remember the first letter, which Paul had heard certain things about problems that were taking place, what they were going through, false doctrine that was coming in there, particularly about the second coming of Christ. False doctrine was coming in. He said, now Timothy came back and he brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. He said, I was concerned about you. I was, I don't want to use this word. I don't think Paul would use it, but I would use it. It'd be me. I was worried about you. I was worried about you. I was worried about you that you would not stay true, that you would not be faithful. But he said, I have this confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you will do that. He said, you desire to see me, and you haven't given up on me, and you remember the things that you were taught. We must always keep in mind, I think, when we're going through any book of the Bible, and of course here we have first letter and second letter to the church at Thessalonica, we must keep in mind that sometimes whenever we study, even whenever we study verse by verse, we get the idea that this verse stands alone. No, it stands in context with the whole thing. And they knew the context of the whole thing. I mean, this is what they had. This was what was written to them. And they know whenever he talks about this, what it said in the first letter that they got from him. They understand about that. So I think it's important that we keep that in context with the whole thing. And I think maybe sometimes whenever we take a long time, like I do, to go through these things, I think it's good as we look at the individual words, good as we look at the individual verses, but we must not take them out of context with the whole letter, with everything that has been written, and not separate these little parts out. And though they do stand alone and they have meaning alone, they are part of the greater whole. Now, in verse 3, Paul expressed that God would faithfully establish them and keep them from evil. And now he is confident that God will lead them and assist them in performing the proper service that God wills for them. In other words, the thing he's commanded. He said, I have confidence in you. That in verse 3, he tells that the Lord is faithful. He'll establish you and keep you from evil. And then we have this confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things we have commanded. He said, I've got this confidence in you. The Lord's going to do this. Do you get the idea in this that it's all about the Lord? It's all about Him. If we get any other thing other than that out of it, that's good. But don't miss that. Don't miss that. Because if you miss that, you miss the whole thing. Now, there is certainly no conflict here. Paul has commanded these commandments. He gave them the commandments. But they are commandments that were given to him of God. And they received, we read in the first letter, he said, you received what we gave to you. You received it as the word of God. Now, I do not ask you I do not ask you to take what I say outside of this book as the Word of God. But it was different. It was different with Paul. Whenever Paul came there, whenever Paul came and preached to them, he did not have a book to open. He couldn't say, turn to Romans chapter 8. He couldn't do that. And they accepted what he has to say as the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm witnessing to someone, I'm a little uncomfortable if I don't have my Bible to open and show them in the book. But Paul never had a book to open to show them in the book. And so whenever that happens, I catch myself and I remember that God's Word is powerful, whether it's in black and white or in the spoken voice. God's Word is powerful. But I must be careful that I give the Word of God, that it truly is God's Word. And that this command is God's command. So there's no conflict here. But we must be careful, and as ministers of the gospel, and as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who should be, if you're not giving out the Word of God and witnessing to others, we must be careful that we don't interject into it our own ideas and put our own spin on it. We must be careful about that. Because Jesus very clearly states in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, he spoke of the people who taught for doctrine the commandments of men. Now, of course, he was talking about the scribes and the Pharisees and those of the priests who were responsible for instructing the people. And even to this day, it was in that day, and it is today, that whenever you deal with Jewish people, you do not deal with them and their understanding on the basis of what the Old Testament says. They refer not to the Old Testament scriptures, very seldom do they refer to the Old Testament scriptures, but they refer to quotes from their rabbis about the scriptures. That's why I try to be very careful. And I know I'm not always able to catch this every time I say it, but sometimes whenever we as preachers are talking and preaching and we get in a big way of preaching, we call on people to believe something because, bless God, I tell you, that's what I believe. Well, okay, that's a testimony. If that's what you believe, that's a testimony. But because you believe that does not make it incumbent upon me to believe that. It's got to be what God says. And, you know, I don't want to get off on a hobby horse about that, but we do need to be, I need to be careful. I have to watch and catch myself whenever I say, well, I'm just going to tell you one thing right now. I believe. Boom. And I can tell you that, and you understand that's what I believe. But I have no right to assume that you're supposed to believe that just because I believe it. Okay? We do not teach for doctrine the commandments of men. Verse 5. Here he moves from the outside or the exterior to the inside, to motives on the inside. Now, it says, now the Lord direct your hearts. Now, this is talking about your motivations, that's inside. It's all still all from and about the Lord. But whenever it says the Lord direct, it means the Lord lead you straight forward. The Lord lead you straight into this thing. Now, this is not inconsistent with the commands. We're going to see that. In context, it's the same. And so it means right back to the same thing. He says, the Lord direct your hearts. Lead your hearts straight into the love of God. Well, where else would he lead you? Just like, you know, highway patrolman directing traffic around a wreck or some problem on the highway, and he looks at you and says, and you just pray he doesn't say, you. And I watched an officer there. I was traveling on I-40 from Knoxville back to Lebanon, Tennessee, toward Nashville. And there's a lovely ridge you run along for a long time, and then you drop down off that on a winding road down into the valley. You drop off that mountain down into the valley. And I was just driving along in the cool of the afternoon, just enjoying a beautiful drive. I was heading home, and all of a sudden, man, I got past like I was standing still going down that mountain. And these three cars went around me. I mean, they went around me. They didn't anymore get around me till we rounded a curve. And there was a cloud of dust on the side of the highway and gravels flying everywhere. And the highway patrolman was coming right out of there. And I watched something that I had never seen happen before. But he pulled up beside, and I sped up enough to get up with him. I wanted to see what was going on. I wanted to watch this. I wanted to watch this. I wanted to know which one of these guys is going to get it. I said, I want to see this. And so I was going down the hill, and I was where I could see the cars. And he pulled up beside the back car, and he hit that something. I'm sure he must have hit the siren a little bit, and he pointed at that guy and said, just like that. And he stayed with him till he pulled off. And he went up to the next one, and he did the same thing. And he went up to the third one, and he did the same thing. And he pulled over all three of them. I was impressed. I was impressed. And, you know, I watched him do that. And I did not hang around. I just, you know, I went on down the road. I didn't know either he had the others come up and he wrote them all tickets at the same time or what he did. But he directed them. He directed them. And this is what it is right here. The Lord direct your hearts straight into the love of God. Now, understand, we do this from our hearts. Ephesians 6, verse 6. I was listening, I think last night, for some reason, were the little girls over at the house last night? Aaron's little girls, Aaron and Jane's little girls. Was it last night? Tuesday night, they were over at the house. And Jenny said, you want to hear them quote Ephesians 6? I said, yeah, I want to hear that. And so the three little girls were quoting Ephesians chapter 6. I think they had it all except the last two verses, and they were still working on that. But they came to verse 6, and I listened to them, and I thought about this. Direct your hearts into the love of God and about the interior part of us. Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers. And it's that part of Ephesians chapter 6, after it deals with the husband and wife, and then it deals with the children in the first part of chapter 6, and then it deals with the employee-employers, employer-employee relationship. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. And we live from the inside out. Now, ideally, what happens is what we are on the inside reveals itself on the outside. And if something is different, if we're bad on the inside and act out good on the outside, we call that hypocrisy. But you see, if you're good on the inside, don't act good on the outside. There's something wrong with that too. And I think there are some people who really, because of peer pressure, I think it happens even in adults as well as with kids, that they really have a good heart for God, but they don't act like it. They want to try to conform on the outside. And that's a shame, really, that that happens. I used to ask young people a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of a Christian are you? If 0 is a bad Christian, or 1 is a bad Christian, and 10 is a good Christian, what number are you on a scale of 0 to 10? What number are you as a Christian? And inevitably they say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? It's not important what I mean. It's what do you understand about that? What do you understand? Whenever I say on a scale of 0 to 10, with 1 being bad, 10 being good, being excellent, what kind of a Christian are you? Are you a 5? Or are you a 7? Are you a 3? What kind of a Christian are you? And then I say, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being bad and 10 being good, how would your parents rate you as a Christian? Oh, wow, that's a little different perspective. And then I ask them, 1 to 10, how would your friends rate you as a Christian? How would your pastor rate you as a Christian? And right quickly, things start showing up that are hypocrisy. You see, because if your pastor rates you higher than your friends would rate you, that just has hypocrite written all over it. And it's interesting, if you rate yourself higher as a Christian than your friends would rate you, that means that you really do inside have a heart for God, but you don't live it on the outside. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, of course, it says the Lord direct your hearts, and of course, the Lord uses the Holy Spirit to direct our hearts. And this doing of the Holy Spirit used of the Lord to direct our hearts, leads us straight forth into the love of God. Right where we'd expect to be led by the Holy Spirit because of the commands that the Lord gave. And it's talking about the commands right here, that you will do those things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Now, what are the great commandments? The first great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And the second is like unto it, thy neighbor as thyself. And so you're directed straight forward into the love of God. He is the one that gave those commandments, and those commandments are what he directs us into. Now we come to the end of verse 5. It says, and into the love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ. So here we come again in the letter to the people at Thessalonica. This doctrinal thing at Thessalonica was the second coming of Christ. That was the primary doctrine that is dealt with in both of these letters. And so we are directed in to the love of Christ and to the patient waiting for Christ. Now, whenever it talks about the patient waiting for Christ, we cannot help but think of how our Lord patiently endured all that was put upon him. And he is our example in that. And everything he went through for us. In chapter 1, verse 3 of the first letter, he says, we remember your patience of hope. And that hope is toward the second coming of Christ. And he remembered that about the Thessalonians. And so it all ties into this. He has dealt with it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And one day, that patience is going to be over. We're not going to have that patient waiting for Christ anymore, because it's going to be face to face. He's going to come. We're going to be with him, and faith will become sight. What marvelous verses here. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do. You are doing those things, and you're going to do those things which we command you, and the Lord will direct your hearts into the love of God and to patient waiting for Christ. We're at 12 minutes after, I think, somewhere like that. Kind of dark on that clock at the back, but I see they have changed it back. Sometimes whenever we fall back, they leave that clock without moving it back. They leave it an hour ahead, and they give me panic attacks sometimes whenever I look at it. I say, it can't be that late. Verse 6, I'd like to read through verse 15, and I think I'll take the time to do that, and we'll pick it up here next week. Okay? Now we command you, brethren. Different command now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Now we're going to use this word three times down through these verses. The word disorderly. Down through the only place this Greek word is used in the New Testament is right here. Withdraw yourself from every brother. Now that's talking about believers. Every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which ye have received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Wow. That's a strange thing to say when you're talking about being disorderly. But wrought with labor and travailed night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power or authority, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. Have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Boy, that's a strong section right there. Strong section right there. If you read that section, it'll make you want to get up and go to work, okay? All right, let's stand together. Well, it's good to see you tonight. Pray much for these days. Now, I say this I say this to the young people that I work with, the Voices of Victory. I say it to them. Sometimes I say it to all of you. But we're at that time of the year. You know that. And we need everybody to be healthy. We need everybody to be well. We need everybody to be strong. And so, number one, get your rest. Get your rest. Number two, drink your orange juice. You're in Florida. You live in Florida. Drink your orange juice. If you need to take vitamins, take vitamins. Do whatever you need to do. And number three, wash your hands. Wash your hands. Now, fellowship one with another. Enjoy each other. Everything like that. But we've got this nasty stuff you rub on your hands at all the doors and all around everywhere. And so stay well. Stay well. And watch yourself. You know, just be careful. And if you do have something you think might be catching, again, I say it every year, but do it. Bump elbows or hit shoulders or something like that, you know. And just be reasonable. Be reasonable, okay? And but above all, do those three things. Do get your rest and eat right. Eat right and wash your hands, okay? Very good. Very good. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the admonitions of your word. Lord, help us to do right. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Pray for a good day on Sunday. Pray that the Lord will bless and all the work that's going on, all the things that have to be done. Pray much for those things.